Good morning. This is Brother Van Wyndham from over at West Macomb Baptist Church. Glad to be with you again this morning. This is my third Sunday back after my surgery. And I tell you, I'm just getting a little stronger every week, it seems like. Just getting a little better. Still covet your prayers. We thank all of you who have been praying for us. But it's just good to be back with you again this morning. Hope you all had a good Memorial Day weekend last weekend. God bless us with great crowds at church. I was really impressed, especially on Sunday night, having it that night, had the people that we had back. But it's just so glad that we can live in a great nation that we live in, that we have the freedoms and the liberties that we have because of those that were willing to pay that ultimate price. As we've heard it said, all of them gave some, but some of them gave all. And that's exactly true. And so we remembered those who gave that ultimate price of giving their whole life. So I appreciate what they did for us so that I can have this opportunity to come this morning and to share this word. So it's so good to be with you once again. Let's pray and then we'll get right into it. Father, what a joy it is to be able to come and to share this word over the airways, Lord. I thank you for those who listen. And Lord, we just pray that it will be meaningful to them today. I pray that whatever needs that they may have, that they will be met today. We know some may be sick and afflicted and may need a touch, Lord, from the great physician. Some may be lost and unconcerned that may be listening at us today, Lord, and they need the Savior. They need to find Jesus as their Lord and Savior. So, Lord, whatever they may need today, we know you're greater than any need and you can meet that need. So we lift these people up to you. Lord, I pray for myself. That, Lord, you give me strength to get through this message. I pray, Lord, that you just continue to heal me. I pray, Lord, most of all, that you cleanse me of my sin and my shortcomings and anything that would stand between us and you this morning. That, Lord, that you'll move it right now, that these would truly be your words, that we will lift Jesus up, that we will bind Satan, and most of all, that we will give you the honor and the glory. For we ask it in Jesus' precious and holy name. Amen. This morning, if you have your Bibles, we're going to read from Matthew chapter 11, just three verses, verses 28 through 30. Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 through 30. Matthew 11, 28 through 30. As we think about this morning, an invitation to the weary. You know, God had been placing upon my heart about preaching about the great invitation. I know I preached that several times before. But you know, God is constantly giving us an invitation. He ends up his Bible in the book of Revelation. You get to the end of the Bible. And what did he say? He says, the Spirit says, come. The church says, come. All the people who are believers say, come. There's a great invitation calling people to come. We know that Jesus told parables about the great invitation of the great feast and how that he sends out his servants to say, come, come, because there's a great feast, and how that those who had already received their invitations began to make excuses. And you know, God gave me a message one time, the great invitation and the pitiful excuses, because they began to make all these pitiful excuses why they couldn't come. One had bought some oxen and he had to go try them. That'd be like buying a car without driving, see if it cranked, wouldn't it? One said, you know, I bought a piece of land, but I hadn't seen it. You know, that's crazy, isn't it? You're going to go look at it before you buy it. One said, well, I just got married. You know, I don't have to come. So there was just some pitiful excuses. But this morning, what I want us to look at is an invitation to the weary. Now, I ask you this morning, how many of us are tired and worn out? You know, well, I'm not talking about physically this morning. I know all of us probably are pretty tired. I'm sure with the weekend, if you're like me, you got gardening going on, you got grass to cut, you got things to do around the house, spray the fence row, you know, weed eat the pond down. It's just a lot of things that need to be done. And I know the longer I stay stove up with this knee, the further and further behind that I get. I did try to get out and tie up a few tomatoes last weekend. But you know, brothers and sisters, we talk about being weary. We talk about being tired. We talk about being heavy laden in this world. But brothers and sisters, it's not just that physical burden that we have. It's just not that physical tiredness and being worn out day in and day out. But what about that spiritual weariness? You know, when I look around at what's going on in our world today, we see so many of our teenagers taking their own lives. We see so many of our teenagers taking other people's lives. Right here in Jackson, Mississippi, we're seeing teenagers killing teenagers. And we make us wonder, what in the world is going on? Why are our teenagers so weary of living? Why would they want to take their own life? Why are people so weary? Why are they so weary? You know, as I look and see what's going on, it's a scary thing to think about that these young people who have only lived a short time, that they're already giving up on life. What is the problem? What is happening to our young people? What is going on in their minds and their hearts that life is not worth living and that they can't have? So listen to what Jesus says today in Matthew chapter 11, beginning with verse 28. He says, "Come unto me, all ye that labor are and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." You know, when we read these verses, we automatically think of it in a physical form, don't we? And it's almost contradictory what it says. He says, ye that what are laboring, ye that are heavy laden. He says, come unto me and I'll give you rest. Then he says, take upon you my yoke and you'll find out that what? That I am meek and lowly and my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Now, wait a minute. It seems as if that if we're going to find rest from our labor and our heavy laden, then the best way to do that is what? Not to have on any yoke, right? Not to put on any yoke, not to have anything that is holding us back. But brothers and sisters, what I want us to look at this morning, that this is not a physical story that he's telling. This is not a physical invitation that he is giving. Yet, when we get our spiritual condition right, then it brings rest to our body. It brings rest to our physical condition. We know that without Jesus, then our lives are in an uproar. We may not think they are, but they are. And we're working ourselves to death for what? For nothing. So he's talking about spiritual conditions. He said if you're laboring and if you are heavy laden, then what you need to do is come and find me. So I want us to look at three things that he talks about here. First, if we want to see, well, who is he making this invitation to? Then we want to look at the cure that he has for those who are laboring and are heavy laden. And then we're going to look at the command that he gives us to be able to find that rest in him that each and every one of us are looking for and each and every one of us needs today. Every one of us needs some rest today, don't you? I know when I get through today and with these two services and I go home and eat me a little dinner, I'm going to pull that handle and I'm going to get me a nap this evening. I'm going to find some rest. But what am I doing to find spiritual rest? How do we find that spiritual rest? And that's what he's talking about today. This is an invitation to those that are spiritually weary, those that are spiritually heavy burdened and are laboring in this world. So let's look at that. The first thing we see is who is he giving this invitation to? Those that are laboring and those that are heavy laden. Do you see that in that verse 28? Now, let me tell you real quick. Those that are in the worst laboring and heavy laden state in their life, brothers and sisters, are those who are trying to live a life of sin. Now, they may think they're having fun. They may think, boy, it don't get any better than this. But I'm here to tell you, brothers and sisters, it does. The life of sin is the most laboring, heavy laden thing you will ever try to do. It is the worst condition that you can be in is to be trying to live a life of sin and living under that power of sin because it is the power of sin that will drive you crazy. It will drive you to do things that you shouldn't do. I knew a young man one time. He stood on the steps of the church and he said to me, he says, "Preacher, I want to do right, but I can't get past that little bit of crack." He didn't live out of his 40s, brothers and sisters. You hear me? Because, brothers and sisters, his life was so laboring. His life was at a point that he was so heavy laden because of sin in his life. And that sin had just taken a toll upon his life. And brothers and sisters, when I look around our world and we see so much sin, we see so much laboring in life. We see kids turning to the streets and shooting other kids. We see kids taking their own lives because they are so laboring in this life. This life is so hard and they're struggling because they're trying to live it in the world. And they're trying to live it according to the world and what the world tells them. Oh man, this is fun. And this is the way you want to do it. I can remember one of the beer commercials, you know, it always showed a bunch of guys sitting around a campfire, you know, on the creek bank and said, boy, it don't get any better than this. And my friends and I, we didn't drink, and we'd be sitting around the campfire on Big Black River or Pearl River somewhere, and we'd be drinking our Mountain Dew, and we'd say, boy, it don't get any better than this. And let me tell you something. You're exactly right. It don't get any better than living a life for Jesus. It don't get any better than living your life for God. If you want to have the worst life and you want to be under burden and under strain your whole life, but under the power of sin, brothers and sisters, then it will burden you down. You will be heavy laden. You will be burdened down. The guilt of that sin. Can you imagine the guilt that these people are living under? You know, when I look at some of these profiles of some of these kids who have been killing other kids and these people who are killing one another and killing themselves. And when you look at their profile, you'll find out they were confused kids. They were kids that were caught up in the sins of the world today. They were kids that didn't know if they were washing or hanging out because they'd got caught up in the world. And because the world had carried them the power of sin and the guilt was so great upon them that, brothers and sisters, they either took their own lives or either they took the lives of other people because they were living under that burden of sin. You can't live in this world without laboring. You can't live in this world without being heavy laden with sin. Sin will weigh you down. Sin will drown you. Sin will kill you. Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death. And a lot of times it's not just that spiritual death, brothers and sisters. It's that physical death. It's bringing our young people to an early grave because they're trying to live in this sinful world. We see that he tells Paul in Acts chapter 9 verse 5 when Paul was Saul, and you remember when Jesus took him down on that road to Damascus and how that he's called him out. And what did he ask him? He says, Saul, Saul, it's hard for you to kick against the pricks, isn't it? Why do you keep kicking against the pricks? It's hard to kick against the pricks. It's hard to kick against what is right and what is good and what God does in our lives. Brothers and sisters, it's hard to live in a sinful life. A lot of people say, oh, it's easy to live in sinful. It's easy to live. No, it's not. If it was so easy, why I got so many people coming by my house? Because they can't got no food to eat. They can't pay their bills. Why I got people coming by my house? Because they spent all their money on drugs and they don't have gas money to get back home. You think that's living easy? Why do people come by my house? They ain't got nowhere to live. They're living in their cars and stuff, and they wonder what's wrong with their life. Brothers and sisters, it's hard to kick against the pricks. It's hard to kick against the pricks. Why do we continue to fight against God? Why do we continue to want to live in this world and become so heavy laden and burdened down and labored down? It's hard to live a life of sin, no matter what anybody tries to tell you, and no matter how good the world may try to tell you that living a life of sin is, it is not good. It's hard, and it will kill you. And they live in this guilt. Think about Judas himself. Think about how that Judas himself, when he went and he sold Jesus out for those 30 pieces of silver. And when he realized what he could do, brothers and sisters, look what sin did for him. Look what sin did for him. The Bible says what? He tried to go back and give the money back and he wouldn't take it back. He went out and he hung himself. There's a lot of people today, brothers and sisters, that are so labored, they are so laden, heavy laden with sin, that the guilt is so strong they can't take it. You want to know why we're having so many suicides? Do you know that suicides amongst homosexuals are 30% higher than it is against normal people? Why is that? Brothers and sisters, the guilt and the burden of sin bearing down upon us, Brothers and sisters, it is more than people can stand. And that is reason Jesus says, come unto me, come unto me. He gives them that great invitation. Ye that are laboring, ye that are in heavy laden, come unto me. The Holy Spirit has to work of convicting us. And John 16:8 says, when the Spirit comes, he will reprove the world of sin. And when he does that, he breaks our heart. We have that broken and that contrite heart. And when we do that and we get sick of that sin in our lives, then we repent and God forgives us of our sin. And that's when we find that rest in Jesus. Oh, brothers and sisters, this morning are you kicking against the prick? This morning, are you trying to live a life of sin? Are you laboring in that sin? Are you trying to swim upstream? Brothers and sisters, quit kicking against the prick. Quit going against what we know is good and holy and just. And this morning, repent of those sins and find your rest in Jesus. Well, how does that all happen? How does that all come about? Well, we look at the cure. Look at verse 29. Take my yoke upon you, learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest of your soul. Take my yoke upon you. Now, that just sounds kind of contradictory, doesn't it? If he's going to bring you rest, then why would he say, take my yoke upon you? Because my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Now, listen to me, and listen to me good. Everybody is wearing a yoke this morning. Did you hear me? Every one of us are wearing a yoke today. Every one of us has a yoke on us. Now, I don't know who you're yoked up to, but you're yoked up to something this morning. You're either trying to pull the world around and sin around, or either you're trying to work for Jesus day in and day out. But you're going to be yoked up to something. There's only two ways. All throughout the Bible, brothers and sisters, the Bible says there's only two ways. There's either life or death. There's either blessing or cursing. There's either heaven or hell. You're either going in the straight gate, the narrow straight gate, or you're going in the broad gate and the way where so many people go to destruction. You're either saved or you're either lost. You either serve manna or you serve God, manna being the world. So you can't straddle the fence. And you can't say, well, I'm going to put the world's yoke on Monday, and I'm going to act like the world on Friday and Saturday, but then when I get up on Sunday, then I'm going to put my Christian yoke on. It don't work like that. When you do that, then you really get heavy laden. Then you really get burdened down. Then the guilt really builds up when you try to straddle the fence. You can't do that. But every one of us are putting on one yoke or the other. You're either serving manna, the world, or you're either serving God. Now what did Jesus say about that? He said you can't serve two masters. You can't serve both manna and God. You can't serve both the world and God, because if you try to serve both the world and God, then what's going to happen? You're going to end up loving one and hating the other, right? So you can't serve both. You have to choose which one you're going to serve, God or manna. So Jesus is saying, put on my yoke. Take off that old burdensome yoke. Take off that old hard yoke that you have and put on my yoke. Now, what in the world are you talking about here? You know, you have to think back to that day and time and the old wooden yokes that they had and the things. You know, today we would bring it up to the gear that we used. That I know I used as a kid plowing a horse with your hanes and your collars and all these things. And you had your trace chains and it hooked up to your single tree or your double tree and you hooked your plow up to it. But I can remember, the collars that went around the horse's neck. And you had these big leather collars, and they had padding in them, and they was made with padding. And this is what the plow hooked to, and it's what pulled against the horse's chest, and it made it easy to pull. I know sometimes that we would have my grandpa and my uncle, the ones that I would see plowing, that I would plow with, you know, they would take the collar, and it would have a collar pad under it. They would actually put an extra pad under the collar, thin pad, kind of like a blanket for the saddle that goes under the saddle. And that pad you know, would help even soften it. Now, some people would just throw the old collar on. Some people would have old collar that maybe was kind of tore up or had a bad place in it. Maybe they had a yoke that was made out of wood that back in Jesus' day, and maybe that yoke wasn't sanded down smooth, and maybe that yoke had a knot on it. Can you imagine? You tried to set on a knotty log before, hadn't you? But can you imagine that some yokes would be smooth, and they would be wide and flat, and they would fit upon the chest, around the neck, and the shoulders of the oxen or the horse or whatever it was, the oxen mainly in that day and time, and they would pull, and it would make it easy for them to pull. The better the yoke, the easier it was on the animal. Now, if you, like I said, if you had an old yoke that had a knot on it or a spur on it or wasn't smooth or wasn't down smooth, then what would it do? It would cause a rough place. It would cause a rough place upon that animal's shoulder, upon his shoulder, upon his neck, and it would dig into his neck, and it would be painful when they tried to pull. Well, see, this is what Jesus is trying to illustrate here. He says, you're going to wear one yoke or another. So let me just ask you, which yoke you want? Do you want an old hard yoke that's got knots in it, that's not smooth? Do you want a good yoke? And we would bring it up even to today. Do you want a good collar with a collar pad under it? Or had you just rather have an old wore-out collar? Now, which one you want to pull? Because let me tell you something. The world is not going to give you a good collar. The world is not going to give you a good yoke. It's going to yoke you up with anything it can. It may not even give you a good yoke. It may just tie a rope around your neck and expect you to pull it. See, brothers and sisters, Jesus says, my yoke is easy. My yoke is easy. It's going to make you feel good. It's going to do everything it can to make the burden light and to be to where that you can pull it. See, brothers and sisters, we got to take on a yoke, one or the other. And just because we have been released from the burden of sin, it doesn't mean that we've been released from the service of God. See, when we accept Christ as our Lord and Savior, He puts that crown on our head. We are an adopted son of God. We are royalty. But brothers and sisters, He also puts the yoke on our neck. But His yoke is an easy yoke. His yoke is smooth, it's padded, and it does everything that it can to make us getting through this life in the best way that we can. He says the burden is light and the yoke is easy because we have a God. You know, when I think about that pad, what is it padded with? It's padded with love. The love of God is padded because God loves us and because He cares for us. And for that reason, He's not going to do anything to hurt us or to harm us. He expects us to serve Him. He expects us to pull our part. He expects us to have our burdens. He expects us to have our yoke. But brothers and sisters, He loves us so much that He's going to pad that yoke. He's going to make the burden light. How many of you ever seen that card or everything that it shows a donkey hooked to a cart and the donkey's legs are off the ground and it says, don't mind the donkey, just load the cart. Well, see, our God is not like that. Our God is not like that. How many times you heard somebody say, God won't put more on you than you can stand, but boy, my old cart sure and wagon sure is getting loaded. Well, let me tell you something. He's going to do everything He can to make that burden light for you. Matter of fact, the Holy Spirit will even help bear your infirmities. The Holy Spirit will help us. God said He'll not leave us alone or comfortless, but He will send the Holy Spirit to help us in what we are doing because His yoke and His burden is easy and it is light. And we must choose to put on His yoke because He is the one. And like I said, it is that love of God. Listen to what He says in 1 John 5:3. He says, this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments. And His commandments are what? Not grievous. Did you hear that? His commandments are not grievous. In other words, what God commands us to do, what He puts on our wagon, what He asks us to do, it's not going to be something harder than we can do. We'll be able to pull it with His yoke. we'll be able to make it. Matter of fact, Paul said it this way in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. You remember he said, for these what? Light afflictions that we have right now, they're not to be compared with what? With that glory that we have coming in this life hereafter. That pulling this yoke here on earth and these light afflictions, they can't imagine, they're just a drop in the bucket compared to what God has in store for us, because he loves us so much and because he gives us eternal life. So he says, first of all, who is the invitation for? Those that are laboring, those that are heavy laden down with sin, and sin is causing them to labor. The curious is to put off that old yoke of the world. Take on you the yoke of Christ. And so then look at the command that he gives them in verse 29. He says, take my yoke upon you and learn of me. And learn of me. So here we see that he is what? He says, I am meek and I am lowly, and you need to learn that of me. Now, I love to watch horse movies, and I used to watch all the horse breaking movies and had tapes of them and had magazines, and everybody's got a different way of doing it. And I love to watch these old westerns, you know, when you had the Bronc Busters. And you know, a lot of them, you know, on the TV, they'd just show them what they'd rope them and tie them to a post and bite them on the ear. Somebody'd be biting him on the ear to hold the horse steady while somebody got on him and just let him buck out. And I mean, it was just crazy. And then you watch real horse whisperers, and what do? They take their time and they calmly approach the horse, and they do the pressure and the release thing, and the joining up thing. If you ever watch Heartland, and I mean all these things that they go about and show you how to break the horse. And what they do is, they said, you got to learn of me. Now God says this. He says, take upon me my yoke, because my yoke is easy. But I expect you to do, if I put a yoke upon you, then I expect you to do, but I want you to learn of me and learn what it means. Now, I'm going to ask you something here, and I'm going to age you real quick. How many of you know what G and haul means? Anybody know what G and haul means that's listening out there? Some of you are screaming right now at the radio. It means right and left. That's right. When you're plowing that old mule or that horse, and you're going down that road, and you want him to move over a little bit to the right, you say, gee, gee. And if it's a good plow horse that's been trained, he knows that means go over to the right. And if you want him to go to the left a little bit, you say, haw, haw. And he'll go off to the left. You know, God says, that's the way I am. I'm gentle with you. Now, some people would jerk on them plow lines and jerk this away and jerk that away, and they're rough on them. But listen to me. God says, I give you a command, learn of me, and you'll find out that I'm not some hot-headed, harsh, you know, teacher who discourages students. You ever seen that sometimes? Sometimes you can get a teacher that just tries to beat it in the heads of the students, and it doesn't work. Same way in breaking an animal sometimes. Some people think, well, you just got to break their spirit and try to break it into them and beat it into them. That doesn't work. I don't like that kind of training. God says, that's not the way I am. Learn of me. You know, I think about that when he says that of Mary and Martha. Do you remember the story of Mary and Martha? And he tells about how that Mary and Martha, that Martha was what? Boy, she was laboring, and she was what? She was heavy laden. She was trying to cook a meal for Jesus and all the disciples. She was frustrated, and where was Mary all this time? The Bible says she was sitting at the feet of Jesus listening to every word he said. And Martha comes in there and scolds Jesus and tells Jesus, Jesus, I'm in here trying to get y'all some food ready, and Martha's just sitting here doing nothing. You need to tell her to get in here and help me. Now, that's Van Wyndham paraphrase. Don't look for that just like that in the Bible. And what did Jesus tell Martha? He says, Martha, you're troubled about a lot of things, aren't you? But he says, Mary has chosen the good things, the best thing. She has chosen to sit here and listen to me. Whether we eat or not, it doesn't make any difference. It's whether we hear the words of Jesus. Listen to me, brothers and sisters. We got to learn of Jesus. We got to learn about him. Understanding more about Jesus and getting our knowledge about God and finding out who he is, then, brothers and sisters, that's what brings peace to our life. That's what brings rest to our life. That's what brings the assurances that we need. Paul said it's like feeding milk to a baby. He says some can only take milk. He said, I wish they was mature, but they can't take milk, so I'm going to give them milk right now. But when they get mature, I'm going to give them meat. Jesus says, you come learn of me. You come learn of me. You come know that I am meek and I'm lowly. And the more you know about me and the more you know about God, the more rest you will find in your life. So this morning, once again, whose yoke you got on? Have you got the yoke of the world on you? Has the world got a hold to you? Has sin got a hold to you? Are you laboring this morning? Are you heavy laden this morning? Was it hard for you to get here today? You know, because sin, because of the guilt in your life, because of the problems that you're having, and you're wondering what in the world's going on, and you're kicking against the pricks? This morning, the invitation is to you. The invitation is to you. Take off that yoke of the world. Put on the yoke of Jesus. It is light. It is easy, and he will make it as easy as he can. Just because he relieves you from sin doesn't relieve you from service to him. You're going to serve one or the other. Choose this morning who you're going to serve. Learn more about God and find rest for your soul today. Let us pray. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for these that have listened so attentively this morning. And Lord, I pray that if there's one here this morning that's listening to us, who is living in that life of sin. Sin's got them burdened down. Sin's got them guilty. Lord, maybe they even anticipated suicide. Maybe they even thought about it. Maybe today, Lord, they need to take that yoke of the world off and put on your yoke and find rest for that weary soul, Lord. Help us to learn you. Help us to know who you are so that we can find that rest for our souls. Thank you for being with us this morning, Lord. Speak to our hearts. In Jesus' name, we do pray. Amen.